While we're enduring hardness, Father, thank you that we can do it happy. Father, I think I need to say that one more time, that while we're enduring hardness, we can do it happy. Hallelujah. So we bless you and praise you today that we're on your side and you're on our side. Amen. And in you, we're always triumphant, always victorious. Amen. And we're glad about that today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I don't know if I've ever exhorted along this line here before. I've been here quite a few times through the years. I've been with the Seagulls since 19 and something. And so they've heard all my messages and have tried to correct me as much as possible. Praise the Lord. But I want to talk to you. Well, not really. I just want to encourage you this morning along this line. And it is this, that this is my time for continuous miracles. And I want you to say that with me a few times this morning. This is my time for continuous miracles. Come on, say it again. This is my time for continuous miracles. Come on, one more time. This is my time for continuous miracles. And you say, Philip, what do you mean when you say that? This is my time for God to be in my business. Come on, you don't want everybody in your business, but there is one who is above all, amen, and is in all and is able to move in us all, and we want him in our business. I can remember when I was back in college in Rhema, amen, and I was away from my family, over 1,000 miles away from my family. And how many of you know it is different when you live away from mom and dad? When you're in their house, you get to eat their food, drive their cars. Hello, somebody. They pay all the bills and everything is just wonderful. It's called Easy Street, you know? It's like we like it like that. Hello, Jesus. But then that it comes that day to where you get kicked out. Come on. And all of a sudden, you paying the bills. Hello. All of a sudden, everything is your responsibility. And hallelujah. You have to find joy in the journey. Hello? Okay, all right. And so anyway, I got to Oklahoma, and I had one cousin there and no other family. And before I left Virginia, I had a real good job making real good money, and I was happy. But then there was a call to move, to make transition, and I went from making happy money to minimum wage. Okay, all right. I can't get no help in the room this morning, but that's all right. And so that transition was huge in my life. And it was because I went away obeying the plan of God. Amen. I went to Bible school and just didn't make the money again that I was making at home. But Thanksgiving, Mama and Daddy showed up in Oklahoma. Huh? And they bought a van with them. And they bought a van loaded with stuff for Philip. Okay, all right. And so it just, I don't know, it did something to me. Hello, when they bought homemade stuff. Huh, homemade cooking. And I'm from the country, and you know, we kill our own hogs and our own cows. Hello. And they showed up with fresh meat. Huh? Okay. Hello, I've been eating bologna sandwiches and ramen noodles, and here it is, Mama showing up with steak. And I was glad that they showed up and that they had me in mind, that they were in my business and they came to be a blessing, come on, in my life and not a curse to my life. And so they loaded up the freezer. Huh? They loaded up the refrigerator. Took me to the store and loaded up the pantry. Hello, and I read somewhere in the Bible that says if we as parents being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him. Amen. You don't have to be living in mama and daddy's house for, amen, God to run your cup over. Hello. It becomes a personal experience when you move into your own place and your own domain. Hallelujah. And mom and dad still knows how to bless you. Even so much more with the plan of God for our lives. We make transition. We do different things. But God still knows how to run the cup over no matter where we're at. Amen. I didn't know he ran cups over in Oklahoma, but I found out that he runs cups over in Oklahoma. Amen. The things get pressed down, shaken together, and running. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I came to Happy Church today. Hello. Amen. I just didn't come with one cup. I didn't come with one vessel, but I borrowed stuff today. And I want everything filled up. I want everything filled up before I get out of here today. And it's going to be filled up. Amen. And you know what that I like about this story with, this is not, anyway, praise the Lord. But the part that I like about this story is that the woman's vessels were filled and all the bills were paid. Are you with me? And then they had plenty left over to live off of. But how many of you know it requires good management? Okay, all the amens. Just did you see how fast the amens went away? It requires good management to continue living in the blessing. Maybe I need to try that one more time. It requires good management to continue living in the blessing. One more time. It requires good management. Amen. We sharpen our management skills. Hello. We learn how to add 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2. Hello. So that we don't run out. Amen. Y'all happy this morning? Amen. I am. I'm very happy. Amen. Because I believe there are things that God wants to do for us that we're in a season where things continuously happen. And as they continuously happen in our lives, it's important that we know how to spread it to other people, to those around us. It's important that, first of all, I feel like in a believer's life, that you experience the blessing of God for yourself.
Yes.
That you have a testimony for yourself. Huh? I can talk about mama and daddy showing up and filling up my freezer, filling up my refrigerator, filling up my pantry, because I experienced that. There were other people that didn't get to experience that blessing. Their parents never showed up. But mine showed up. Amen. And your father wants to show up on your behalf. And I'm going to move quick this morning, if that's all right. I do want to read this from John chapter 2 right quick. And while you find in John chapter 2 verse 1, I want to make this statement right here. It says, a champion doesn't slow down to the speed of others' mediocrity, but stays at high quality, high pace, high place, and pulls other people up.
Amen.
So we're not slowing down today, all right? It's time to come up. Amen. So if you feel a pull today, just come on. Just coming out. Come on, because we ain't slowing down. Jesus is coming soon, and we wrapping this thing up. So let's go. Amen. Happy church, Philip. Happy church. So I'm going to read this right quick. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And it says this, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called with his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning thus set forth good wine, when men have well drunk, then with that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And it goes on to say, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, how many of you know this passage right here is a series? But I can't give you series. I can give you a few nuggets today. Amen. And I want you to say this again. This is my time for continuous miracles. Come on, say it one more time. This is my time for continuous miracles. And again, when we say that, we're saying that this is my time for God to be in my business. This is the time for the Holy Ghost to get involved with me and work with me and show me things and reveal things unto me. This is my time for doing that. I'm not waiting for the sweet by and by for God to be real to me. Amen. I need God to be real today. Hello? I need help today. I need comfort today. I need wisdom today. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. Amen. And so, again, we're not waiting for when we go way beyond the moon. No, today. Yes. Amen. Somebody say today. Yes. This is the time today. And so we see here that Jesus shows up at a wedding with his homies. Hello. Just coming to enjoy the festivities, you know, have a good time and stuff, you know, talk with the family a little bit, you know, just have a good time, have some little snacks, and just enjoy the wedding. But all of a sudden, a demand was made. And that's how it is many times with us in life. We're going along doing fine in life, not expecting any major bumps or no major hurdles to go over. Come on, somebody. But then something happens. Huh? Something shows up. There is a demand made.
Yes.
And it's like, well, what are we going to do now? What's going to happen now? What are we going to do now? Thank God that we have Jesus for our example. There was a demand made, but he knew that there was a supply. In all of our lives, we need to know that there is a God continuous supply in every area of our life. And again, we need to have a mindset of constant God manifestation in our lives. God manifesting again and again and again and again. And just when you think he's ran out, he manifests again and again and again. And that's where we get to saying, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Why? Because we see him manifest again and again. And if he will show up at a wedding, huh? If a demand can be made at a wedding, who? And he made the best wine. Amen. He didn't make the cheap stuff. Hello, he bought the expensive stuff. He don't want you to have the cheap, broke down stuff that you use it one time. Okay, all right. He wants the stuff that'll last, that people will talk about. Huh? The governor of the feast said, hey, 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 hold up now. You know he's probably feeling good. Okay, all right, y'all gonna act like church folk on me this morning, but that's all right, I know how to plow, I don't do it. And so he was probably feeling good, but when he tasted the water that was made wine, huh, where did this come from? Huh? This is the best stuff. This is not the time to pull out the best stuff. This is the cheap time. Y'all ought to be getting some stuff this morning. You know, say, when everybody is well drunken, that's when you pull the cheap stuff out. But God says, that's when I'm going to honor you with the best. Okay. I'm talking to you this morning. All right. So talk back to me. God honors my life with the best. How many of you believe Jesus is coming soon?
Yes.
Huh? Hello.
Yes.
Maybe morning. He's coming soon. And so we're here at the end.
Yeah.
Amen. And he saved the best. For us.
That's right.
They've had some good drinking in the past.
Amen.
But our drinking in this day, in this season, this hour that we're in, ain't nobody tasted stuff like this before. Amen. This is the best. This is the best hour. This is the best season. This is the best day to be here in the earth. The best, the best, the best, the best. Somebody say the best.
The best.
Amen. Just tell your religious mind, shut up. Tell that poverty mind to shut up, shut up, shut up. We got the end of this thing, and it will be the best.
The best.
Amen. But notice that not only did Jesus and his disciples get to enjoy the water that was made wine, but everybody at the party, okay, everybody at the wedding festivities got to enjoy the same thing. Everybody got to enjoy the same thing. Somebody say the same thing. The same thing is the same thing. Amen. But you know, it just had to be so exciting. I told you I'm not going long today. If I leave it open, I will go long. Amen. But it is so exciting, and there's nothing like experiencing and tasting of the things of God for yourself.
Yes.
It's nothing like it.
Amen.
And I'm going to share just a quick few testimonies with you about times that I've been able to taste of the goodness of God in different areas and different arenas in my life. Amen. And I just keep tasting. Huh? Whew. Because it just keeps gooder and gooder.
Yes.
So as a child, I had asthma. And so you know what kind of sentence they give you when you have asthma? It's only going to get worse. Hello. And you're going to have this pump, and you have to deal with this all your life. This is an all your life situation. All your life, you're going to have to be bothered with this. Hello. And so, you know, there's nothing like family and friends to tell you that all your life, all your life, you're going to have to deal with this. So-and-so had it in the family, and they had to deal with it. You know your great-granddaddy ended up on oxygen, don't you? There's nothing like good encouragement from family and friends. But thank God for people who know the power of God, who know the anointing of God. There was an evangelist that showed up at our church, and my mom took me for it. He was praying for the sick, laid hands on me. Amen. And the asthma instantly disappeared. Okay. Maybe you're not appreciative of that, but I appreciate that I can breathe. Hello. I appreciate that I don't have to have an inhaler. Huh? Okay. All right. Amen. And so God started moving and working early in my life. Okay. I wasn't going to tell this little side issue with this, but I will tell it right quick. I was totally healed from the asthma. And a lot of people in my family then, they smoked. And so, I don't know, maybe I was around 10 years old. I decided that I wanted to smoke. like everybody else. Okay, so I did the monkey see, monkey do. All right, that's what I started doing. And so somebody threw down a cigarette one day, and I picked it up. And I say, I'm going to start today. I'm growing up today. Today's my day, huh? I'll be a man. And so I put that cigarette in my mouth, and I took a draw. Uh-huh. And when I did, that asthma kicked back in. Okay, all right. Huh? All those symptoms, everything came right back on me, and I couldn't get my breath. How many know that I went into a state of panic because all the inhalers and everything were gone? So I resorted to the only thing that I knew to do, and that was pray. And I prayed, oh God, give me my breath back and I'll never touch another cigarette again. Oh, you laughing. But that touch happened. Huh? That touch happened. And when it did, I got my air back. Hello? And I've never touched a cigarette again. We don't make vows and break them. Okay, all right. I'm running out of time. So anyhow, I'll say that again because I don't think y'all like that one. We don't make vows and break them. When we make a vow to the Lord, we say again, bro. We keep it. We do. Amen. We just like him. He honors his word. And we honor our word. Oh my goodness, I could go down this trail right now. I could mess right here. Amen. I could mess right now. How many times have folks said, Lord, you get me out of this and I'll never do it again, huh? Hello? And folk leave the room and we over on Reddit, rated X. Okay, all right, all right. It's real quiet in the sanctuary right now. I try to clean it up. Did I clean it up? Yeah. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, but those vows that we make to the Lord, it's just not a casual thing that we're doing. Amen. If you don't plan on straightening up, don't make the vow. That's some stuff, maybe I shouldn't say it, but that's some stuff I just tell God, you're going to have to work with me on this one. You already know my heart. Hello, you already know my appetite. But work with me. Help a brother. Praise the Lord. And so anyway, that asthma experience was one of the first times that God ever manifested in my life. And then I had a time where we were at our family dinner, and we went to join hands to pray as a family. That's what we did around the dinner table. We went to join hands, and when we went to join hands, I was sitting next to my father, and he went to grab my hand, and he knocked one of those old percolator coffee makers. You all know what I'm talking about, where you have the grinds down in it and the water goes up through there and you can see it percolating. He knocked one of those off on me. And so I had like third degree burns, and I could be really graphic right now, but I didn't. But you know, it was one of those situations where the doctors were saying things that I was gonna have to have done. You know, because it was just a really bad situation. How bad it was is that I turned all white here. So all my blackness was gone. So I am white underneath. I do know that. I'm trying to hurry here. So when they got me to the hospital, I was on fire. And they were trying to medicate me and things, but the fire in my body was just, it was just like being continually on fire. And so, you know, again, they were trying to give me drugs and things to stop that fire, and they couldn't. And my dad looked at me and said, listen, I'm going to go get Aunt Vi, my Aunt Viola. I'm going to go get her, and she's going to take the fire out. I ain't never heard of nothing like that before. So I'm just laying there, and I'm boohooing and crying. And after a while, he comes back with my great aunt, and she walks in the room, and she's one of those old-time Pentecostals that has her hat tilted to the side, you know, everything long, everything covered, you know, and had on the funny glasses, you know. You know, and you just kind of, like, I hope none of my friends and nobody sees her coming in. But anyway, she came in. And she opened up the Bible to some scripture, and she muttered the scripture. And then she took her hand and she laid it on the burn. She laid her hand on the burn. And I don't remember what she said, but what I do remember is that she said, and we take the fire out now. Excuse me. We take the fire out now in the name of Jesus. And she it was like she grabbed it and she just pulled it out. And when she did, all the burning, everything, it just stopped. And I was instantly normal from the pain. It all instantly, how many of you know that did something to me? And it wasn't when I was 100 years old. Hello. This was when I was about a 7 or 8 year old kid. And I can remember my great aunt coming in, laying her hand on it, and say, we take the fire out now in the name of Jesus. And all that fire just came out of my body. And she looked at my dad and she said, don't worry about it. He's not going to scar or anything. He'll be fine. And walked out of the room. Well, that kind of burn, you know, they have to do skin grafts and things like that. And they just wrapped me up and sent me home. And my father kept telling me, Aunt Viola said, you're going to be okay. Aunt Viola said, you're going to be okay. They would change the bandages. I would look down at that burn. Hello. It was ugly. Could still pick skin. All that kind of stuff. It looked ugly. The story looked ugly. And my dad would change me, put the salve on me, said, when you got burned, your Aunt Viola laid hands on you, took the fire out of it. And she said, you're not going to scar or anything, son. You're not going to have scarring for this. You're not going to be scarred. And again, we did that day after day, week after week. He'd take the bandages off. Aunt Vi said, I don't mean to get emotional about it, but it's very real. Said, the fire's gone, and you're not going to scar. Not going to have any scar. Well, if I would take my shirt off today, which I wouldn't do that publicly. Somebody ought to run around the room on that one, but anyway. But if I would take my shirt off today, I have absolutely no scars on my body. You can't even tell that I was burnt to that degree because somebody knew that place of miracles. Yes. Not just in their life. Come on. But they knew how to have consistent miracles. When the report was bad, when the doctor said, hey, this is how it's going to be. Thank God for somebody who knew how to walk in the room and said, no, more or less, this is the miracle that we're having. This is the way that things are going to go in this situation. I know what they said, huh? But my father kept putting me in remembrance. Remember? I've only laid hands on you. That fire came out of your body. And she said there would be no scarring, saying you're not going to have scars. Somebody knew how to work the miracle. Amen. It wasn't instant. But it was an ongoing situation in my body where my body just kept getting better and better. And it was and I don't mean to be gross when I say this, but just being able to peel off skin. That's pretty gross, I'm sorry. But it was just like I was peeling off the scar. And my body kept doing that until my skin was clear. Just a consistent. It was a consistent miracle. It was ongoing. It wasn't instant, but it was consistent. God just kept working. Just kept working. Just kept working till my skin got smooth. Maybe you're not seeing an instant manifestation in your life, but don't stop. Don't stop midstream. Keep working it. Amen. Keep working it until all the debt is gone. Huh? And you have more than enough left over for three lifetimes.
Amen.
Remember, you're supposed to have enough for you, your children, and your children's children. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. That's what we do. We don't stop short in the blessing. Amen. We keep going again from faith to faith, glory to glory. And again, as we see God manifesting in these areas in our lives, it enables us to be a greater blessing to people around us. You all have time for one more this morning. Amen. I'm not trying to hold you all day today because today is my steak day. And he just keeps blessing me on Sundays over and over again. It's a continuous miracle of steaks on Sunday. But anyhow, again, miracles are just not in one area in our life. Just don't limit God to one area in your life. Don't limit God to doing things just one way in your life. But allow God to get in your life and work in every arena, every area, even things that you know you can pay for, that you can take care of. If you feel that nudge on the inside that he says, I want to take care of this for you.
Yes.
Let him take care of it. Yes. Listen to somebody who knows, all right? Yes. I've experienced it, you know. I was going to youth camp here just a few years ago, maybe about 8 years ago now, and before I left out of town, left out of Tulsa, my car broke down on me. And so anyway, I took it to the shop and they were supposed to have it done in a couple of hours, and it ended up being hours, and I had to preach that night and I had like a 4-hour drive. And so anyway, I was in that place of panic. Hello? And so I called a friend of mine called Rich, and he said, Philip, just rent a car. I'll take care of your car. And you can settle things when you get back. And I was like, okay, thank you. So I rented a car, went to camp that week. And how many of you know my car was on my mind all week? This is how I travel. This is how I get around. I enjoy the drive. I enjoy it. So it's like, do I just have this one fixed? You know, do I buy a new car? What is the solution in this situation? What do I do? What do I do? And it's just like, God, I got money. I can get a car. And it was just that thing on the inside. He wasn't talking back to me. And it's like, you need to talk to me. I need to know what to do. And the pastor that I was with at that time, all week long he just tormented me. And he said, Philip, you need to get up off some of that money and just go buy you a car. Go buy you a car. And he just kept going on and on. And I would look about buying a car. I would look about getting this vehicle fixed. And there was just nothing there. Nothing there. I need a decision. Just, Father, you said if any man lack wisdom. Okay, maybe I don't talk to God like that. Let him ask of God. And so, you know, it's like, I need wisdom. Just tell me what to do. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. Okay, maybe y'all never got a little bit frustrated with God because he ain't talking. He ain't talking as fast as you want him to talk. So anyway, we get to the end of camp, and I preach kind of along this line that Sunday morning after camp was over. And one of the phrases that God gave me was this, is that your praise ought to match your miracle. Allow your praise to match your miracle. So that thing, it hit me that Sunday morning. Let my praise match my miracle. How big of a miracle are you believing for, Philip? Well, I told the people that morning, I said, we're going to praise God. And we're going to let our praise match our miracle. That's what we're going to do in here this morning. Amen. We're going to turn it loose in here this morning. Amen. If all you're believing for is a thimbleful, do a thimbleful of praise. Thank you. All right. You done. Go sit down. But there are those of us who are in the room that are believing God for bigger than what we've ever believed before. And so we need room. Because we're going to do some walking and leaping, huh? And praising God. Remember the guy at the gate called Beautiful when he got his miracle, how he started walking? Y'all thought I was going to do that ballet thing, didn't you? Walking and leaping and praising God, allowing my praise to match my miracle. And so I just started praising God. You know, I put on some good black dancing music. Church music. Yeah. Some of y'all thought I went to the club. No. Put on some good, you know, just praise music where we could dance. And we just started dancing and praising God for healings, praising God for financial breakthroughs, praising God for family members getting saved, delivered, set free. I mean, we just went ballistic in the place. All, no holds bar. Just, we went in. We went in. Amen. And just everybody was in. It's just like, wow. It was wonderful. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Amen. To be with folk that know how to go in.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
All right. So we started praising God. And when we were done, I went and I sat down, you know, and I was all hot and sweaty and everything. And a young man came over to me. And he said, Brother Philip, the Lord told me to give you my truck. And he was one of the kids at the youth camp. What kind of kid, what kind of truck can a kid give you? Right. 17 years old. The Lord told me to give you my truck. And I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to tell this kid, keep your truck? We were out in the farmland, you know. We were kind of out away from everything. And so, you know, the thoughts go through your mind. This is like, this is a 17-year-old. We out here in the country. I know what kind of trucks you drive in the country. And so anyway, you know, he was persistent with it. And then he goes, Brother Philip, would you like to? Well, first of all, I went over to the pastor because I was trying to find a way out of it. And I said, Pastor, this young man said the Lord told him to give me his truck. What do you think we ought to do? And the pastor put his head down. And this is the one who's been irritating me all week. You ought to get up off of some of that money. Put his head down. And I'm thinking, talk now. You've been talking all week. Talk. Okay. I shouldn't give y'all inside information. I shouldn't tell that part. So, you know, he finally lifts up and he said, well, if the Lord said do it, you ought to obey God. And he walked off. And I wanted to hit him in the back of his head. He's like, help a brother out. I need help right now. I'm dealing with this teenager. I'm not trying to kill his faith. He's saying he hears from God, you know. And it's like, I don't want to destroy him. So finally he said, Brother Philip, would you like to go outside and drive the truck? And I said, yeah. And so we go outside, and sitting out there was a black, brand new, 2014 black Silverado, fully paid for. Fully paid. And he said, would you like to drive it? I said, well, you drive it first. So we went riding, cruising around, you know, a little bit. And he said, Brother Philip, you drive it back. He said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And I, are you sure? What's your mom and daddy? What's your mom and daddy going to say? Hello, you 17. He said, oh, I already talked to my parents about it when I was at camp. I called them. And he said, my dad told me, he said, I was praying and the Lord dealt with me that you were going to give your truck away this week. All right. And he said, son, just whatever God says, you do it. And he said, so my parents, they're fine with it. Well, how many of you know I had problems? I still, even though mom and dad said it was okay, I still had some thoughts that I had to work through. Hello? Nobody's ever given me a brand new vehicle. Hello? A truck? What? Oh. And I got behind the wheel and started driving it. I'm like, you know what? I like this. Hello, and I kind of punched it a little bit, you know, and it had, Ebo, huh? It had power. Yes, Lord. All right. And you know, I finally came to the realization that God knows me better than I know myself.
That's right. Yes, he does.
I would have never chosen a truck. I like luxury. It gets real quiet in the room. You know. I like luxury, you know. And so, but anyway, when I got in the truck, I knew, hey, this is me. And I just fell in love with the truck. Hello. I love trucks now. The truck's parked out there. It's out there. And it was paid for when I got it. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I never thought truck. Truck never entered my mind. It never, but he knew truck suits Philip. But how many of you know it took a minute for me to adjust mentally to get to the place where, Father, whatever your will is in this. You know, many times we use this scripture where Jesus went to the cross and said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And we leave that on the sad side. I'm not going to get kicked out of church today, am I? We leave that on the sad side, and we never bring it over into the victory. He brought us over into his victory.
Yes.
Amen. And so now when we say, Father, not my will be done, but your will.
Yes.
Your will be done. There are treasures
yes.
that he opens.
Yes.
Yeah, I could just find one or two people in here to get happy this morning. There are treasures. There are hidden things. There are things that we've never thought about, things that we never dreamed of, that he just begins to.
That's right. Well, amen. Right.
You think that was good? You like that? Look over here. And you're just like, I didn't know I would like that. I didn't know I would like that. But I love it. I love it. Let me say this right quick, and I'm just going to stop. All right. This is a series. One of the things I had to deal with were the haters. Because when I drove up in a truck that I hadn't paid for, and they gave me money to get the runners on the side because I'm short. I was struggling to get up. So they gave me money to get to put runners on the side. And then they gave me money to put cover on the back. And then they gave me money for the transfer of the title tax. When he opens up treasure, it's taken care of.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is just walk in it. And people wonder how did you get blessed? And like, listen, I can't explain it. I can't put it to words. All I can tell you is that my daddy loves me. And he opens up to me his good treasure. And so my dad, and I am done, sure enough. My dad was a pastor. And so back in the day, we used to have anniversaries for the pastors and everything. And so they had an anniversary for my pastor, you know, and they blessed him with money and blessed him with clothes and stuff. And so he told me one day, I was getting ready for church and I had a suit on. And I didn't have a tie to wear. And he said, Philip, go in there, just get one of my ties. I said, well, what should I get, Daddy? He said, go in there, any tie. Just go in there and get any tie. I said, any tie? Didn't I say any tie? All right. Get a little attitude. So I went in there and got one of his brand new ties. Okay, all right. I got one that he'd never worn before. That they blessed him with on his anniversary. Hello, and I put it on and I came walking out with it on. He said, what you doing with that tie on? I said, Daddy, did you say any tie? He said, boy, go on, get out of here. Did your heavenly father say whatsoever things you desire? When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Yes.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Go in there and get what you want.
That's right. Amen.
If he said it, he meant it.
Yes.
He'll bring it to pass. And it's 11:09. And I want you to stand up for a minute.